Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. Keep the text coming. We will get to those over the course of the program today. Still to come, Scott Butcher from the Trustful Tribune, one of our regulars, and Joey Clark from up in Montgomery, News Talk 93.1, still to come. But joining us now on the line, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. He currently represents the 2nd Congressional District. Is the Republican nominee for the 1st Congressional District, Barry Moore, is on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, good morning. Thank you for having us on. We're doing well.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. Well, I guess a lot of people may or may not be aware, just in case they aren't. Yesterday, the House Judiciary Committee got to hear from the Attorney General Merrick Garland, and everybody got a shot or a chance to talk to him or ask some questions. And you sit on that House Judiciary Committee. Just kind of wait to see how that was going to go, but you got a few minutes with him. Kind of your takeaway from that interaction.
Well, you know, initially we had the standard questions about Jack Smith, just the things that we had. And as I sat through the hearing, I always like to sit through and hear the other questions that are asked. And obviously, Jack Smith's an issue, but he kept saying, and the Democrats across the way kept saying that, you know, we got to be careful what we say about justice in this country and how the words we have carry so much weight. And my response was, it's not the words in D.C. that are causing American people concern about the process of justice in America. It's what the DOJ is actually doing to the likes of Donald Trump, anybody who happens to be his friends or his attorneys. And to me, and they accuse us of just using words saying, oh, they're weaponizing, you know, justice against conservatives or against the American people. And I was just bringing to light, it's not what we're saying, it's what you're doing. And there's a reason that things are going the way they're going in this country, and the American people are losing trust within the justice system and in its own government. And that's concerning for me.
Well, and, you know, you look at the DOJ right now, and I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts on this. Like, there's a mainstream media narrative. What the DOJ is doing to Trump must be above board, because look, the DOJ is prosecuting the president's son, and therefore two wrongs make a right, or whatever. There's a moral equivalency argument there, so the DOJ must be all above board.
Well, I mean, it started in the prior administration. Well, I say the prior administration. It started early on with this DOJ, but even the FBI when Trump was in office, not his administration, but certainly Comey and Clapper and the likes, Loretta Lynch, how they weaponized the system, the FBI, which is under the DOJ, to actually spy on the Trump campaign. I think that's driven from Obama's years in office. And I think in many ways, even then, the American people begin to question exactly why would the FBI be spying on a presidential campaign? And then the Democrats turn around and impeach the man twice, one 7 days before he left office, and then 91 days before a midterm, they raid the man's house. None of these things had ever happened in our country's history. And we keep conservatives and Republicans, we keep saying, well, this is the line in the sand. Surely they won't cross this line. And then they raid the man's house. Well, surely they won't indict him. And then they indict him. Well, there is no way that he's going to be found guilty. Surely they will not carry on this charade of justice in the name of justice, so to speak. And it became politically weaponized. And I think that in many ways, people begin to see that. And so I just was like, when we get to this point now that you got a man that you want everybody to trust the system of justice. And if you see it in the public's eye, like I told him yesterday, I said, you know, maybe it's not the American people that are in a bubble. Maybe it's us on this hill, because they assume, oh, yeah, justice, you know, this is just justice. And Trump must have done something wrong. He wouldn't be convicted. There are $200 million since the man got convicted that had been given to the Trump campaign. And my comments were, well, you know, normally when you get indicted, it's campaign over. Every time he got indicted, he went up in the polls. And now when they found him guilty, he raised $200 million. Normally, if you get found guilty, man, surely your campaign is over. And the American people are saying, we are going to go behind the guy that you're saying is the felon. And that is interesting to me. That says a lot about the just American people saying, we're not buying what you're selling, Mr. Garland, and what this administration is selling. And so there's so many firsts for what they're doing to Donald Trump, that even people who had blue check marks who were not friends of Donald Trump, who have never voted for Donald Trump, are coming to his rescue. And that gives me great confidence in this country, although I'm losing confidence in the system. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, tell me this, kind of a tangential question to the system here. How much do you think Garland's DOJ is working in concert with the New York authorities and even the Fulton County authorities that are prosecuting these local cases against the president, former president?
Well, you know they're coordinating. I mean, Fannie Willis's boyfriend spent time at the White House, a couple of trips, where he spent 8 hours meeting with the executive branch of the government, supposed to be, you know, those are supposed to be separate powers. And here you got Fannie Willis coming to D.C. or her boyfriend meeting with the likes of the White House and the prosecutors up there building this case. And then Alvin Bragg, all of a sudden, he gets this, he strings together this ridiculous case in New York where it's 90, the area where he's at is 90% Democrat. They get a case, and then imagine that the third highest, you know, the third ranking member of the U.S. Department of Justice swims downstream to take a little job with Alvin Bragg in New York City to prosecute former president of the United States. Their strings all over, their fingerprints are all over this thing. And never forget that the FBI, when they raided Mar-a-Lago, Jeff, they didn't let the local office handle that. That was ran from Washington, D.C. That tells us that it's the system in D.C. and this executive branch. They can have plausible deniability, supposedly. But all you got to do is connect the dots. The evidence is there. The system is corrupted. It's been weaponized against the man who is standing for our freedom. They, you know, he says on the stump all the time that, you know, I'm fighting for my freedom, but in a sense, I'm really protecting your liberty. And that's what Trump is. He is right now. He is, I think, in many ways, the representative of populist America. And boy, the system, the uniparty, will not have that. And they do not want that. And that's why he's under attack. And I'm not saying you got to love Donald Trump, but you ought to appreciate your freedom, and we got to stand with him because that's the only chance we got of preserving it right now.
I mean, doesn't it seem to you, and you mentioned this, like the pushback from the public in ways we weren't expecting, but, I mean, we're sitting here today, and then granted, it's early June, elections in November, but let's just point all this out. He's now an indicted felon, which the media love to remind us of every chance they get. But on top of that, twice impeached, just the media just hammer him on a daily basis for the last 9 years. And yet, he in a lot of polls, and we'll still see, you know, I think some of the polling will come out after this trial, of what kind of impact it has. But it should be close. The power of incumbency, Congressman, for a sitting president, and Joe Biden's not the beneficiary of that at all. He's tied or down in a lot of polls to this very, just kind of coming in, you would think on paper, limping into this presidential election. Yet here it is. I mean, it's a dead even, let's say, with perhaps a slight advantage for Trump in the popular vote. And if he's got the popular vote, he's going to win the Electoral College. But it's just gravity defying right now.
It is. I mean, and I think it's the first time in our country's history that we've had a former president running against a current president for the office of president. But the way that this current president is prosecuting his political opponents through the DOJ and through the Department of Justice and the FBI, I think in many ways that's helping Trump in the polls. You're right. The incumbency should be a thing, right? I mean, Joe Biden should have a pretty solid lead. Now, his policies are horrible for the country, but I think if you couple the border issue, if you couple inflation, if you couple possibly three wars going on right now, we're facing a lot of challenges globally. If you couple that with the fact that they're not willing to let the ballot box, but instead they want the jury box to determine who our nominee would be, I think that people who maybe, you know, Churchill said it, we talk about it all the time. He said, you know, appeasement's like feeding a crocodile and hope he eats you last. I think the liberals, the people in the country who may have voted Democrat are saying, wait a minute, if they'll get him, eventually they'll get us. And we have a term for a lot of folks. We call them useful idiots. All these people in the media, they're just touting how great George Floyd was and how horrible Donald Trump is and he's a convicted felon and how great Joe Biden is and how there's not a problem at the border. All of those people that are touting that, once power is truly given to the tyrant and they have control, if you speak negative, they'll be the ones that the crocodile eats, and they realize that. And so I think in many ways, some of the people who may have said, oh, I can't stand Donald Trump, I don't like his tweets, I'm not going to vote for him, they're going, wait a minute, he actually may be the only thing between them and my liberty. And I think that's what's driving this number. I think that's why Biden's doing, he's having trouble in the polls. I think that's why Trump's polling extremely low among Hispanics and blacks in areas that would normally, like, he's campaigning in New York and doing a pretty darn good job. I think it's a wake-up call for many.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. Congressman, speaking of the border, let's talk about that. It's a bizarre, to me, everything Biden is doing right now is kind of a trial balloon just to see, because they know they're in trouble, I think, and they're just trying to see if something will work. But this new border policy seems to be in that vein, that they are and then they got your colleague, Pramila Jayapal, all upset, and some other of her colleagues. They got the ACLU upset with this shift in policy with asylum. But although it's like a change of policy in, like, I guess in word, the net effect, I don't see that this really changes anything tangibly, that you're still going to have people crossing the border and just kind of going on their merry way.
Yeah, it changes nothing, Jeff. It's window dressing, really. I think that, I mean, H.R. 2 has been in the Senate for 390 days, and somehow Joe Biden, you know, a few months prior to the general, wants to run out and say, oh, we're going to fix the border because Congress won't. H.R. 2 is sitting in the Senate. If Chuck Schumer wanted to fix the border, they've had plenty of opportunities. Biden's trying to window dress because, and honestly, I think the reason they're in trouble on the border is they listen to the likes of Jayapal and the squad in Washington, D.C., and this party went so hard left so fast that it left many people in the middle. Maybe those people haven't changed their political views, but the party shifted so hard left that it left many of them looking for a place to go. And I think that's why Trump, of course, I think he's starting to appeal to those folks. But in addition to that, Biden, we know that this executive order is just window dressing prior to a November election because they are underwater on the border. American people see what it is. Communities see what it is. Every state's a border state. And I think now that's why you're seeing this window dressing executive order. Biden comes out and touts how he's trying to fix the border because nobody would. The man broke the border. It was the safest it had ever been in four decades by 2018 when Trump was in office. And it's the worst we've ever seen it now. And it's simply based on executive orders and things he did, 65 executive orders. And somebody said, many people say, that if this executive order that he's trying to pass now will actually make the problem worse and leave it to Joe Biden to make it worse than it already is, which would seem impossible.
Well, wasn't it this, though, that they came in 2021 and decided, look, the everything Trump did is bad, therefore the opposite must be good. It was like kind of this weird logical fallacy that they employed. And this was like true across the board, energy policy, everything, but particularly at the border. And now they're having to, what's weird to me is, well, this is the right thing to do now. Like, why weren't you doing this earlier? Like the people are going to see through this this close to the election.
Absolutely, people. There's no way that I don't think they can ride it quick enough. And you're right. It's just this that tells you it's simply political. You wait till this close to an election and then come out and go, oh, we're going to fix it. Well, you broke it to start with, man. Between the Remain in Mexico, instant asylum. Come get your application to be an American citizen or get asylum. We'll turn you loose and we'll call you when your court date's due. And they've been doing that from day one because I think it was TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. Everything that Trump did, like you said, was bad. So whether it was kill the Keystone Pipeline, which killed our energy production in America, hurt us dramatically, and then turn around and do away with the Remain in Mexico, instant asylum, and allowing people parole into this country that have no business being here. And then you run here at the last minute and say, oh, we're gonna fix the border instantly. He's just doing it as window dressing coming in November because they are upside down. They know they're upside down on the border. That is the number one issue right now, I think. And then I think the Trump, if you take this Trump indictment and these felonies, these charges and these convictions, I think that is the icing on the cake that really gets them in big, big trouble. And I don't see them digging their way out of this one.
Congressman, we'll wind it down on this. Now, I know you're not on the House Oversight Committee, but earlier in the week, Anthony Fauci, making his first appearance there in a couple of years. And everything we were told to believe in 2020 and 2021, well, forget about all that. They really took liberties with this COVID mitigation back then. And now here we are today. And I mean, I'm glad the truth finally comes out about the 6 feet being kind of arbitrary and whatnot. But it's this, like, this kind of thing still feels like it could happen again, that the federal government could take advantage of a situation and really curb Americans' liberty, some of their constitutionally protected rights in the name of public safety. And we're just kind of like, oh, well, we'll get them next time. But we know what we know now. I mean, what do you think of that? Like, kind of like the Fauci stuff seems like a bigger deal than it's being made out to be.
Yeah, I think that Fauci and them obviously wanted to go away. I mean, the fact that the vaccine did not work, that many people did catch it, that it was transmittable, that people, you know, we had people dying in hospitals, their families couldn't be in the rooms with them. We had, you know, kids masking schools. We had children that wanted to vaccinate. And I think that, you know, America, I think, and look, Trump was president at the time. I mean, we all, I think the first 2 weeks to flatten the curve made sense for most everybody. But I can remember the first time I went to a grocery store and put on a mask to go inside, I thought, the American people will never stand for this. And yet somehow we got pushed and pushed and pushed, and we were 2 years in, and Pelosi and her crowd used COVID as an excuse to spend money like drunk sailors, and that's an insult to drunk sailors. They used COVID to spend the kind of money they want and take the kind of control they so desperately wanted. And so, but I think, Jeff, and this is my opinion, I think the American people will not be fooled nearly as easily and as quickly as they were the first time around. COVID is something we didn't know, the mRNA vaccine. Nobody knew what was going on. And I think in many ways it even helped them steal an election, because I think there was so much mail-in, so much fraud with that whole COVID thing. I don't think the American people will ever fall for that as quickly. Certainly not in the next few years. I think we learned a lesson, and the more we know, that we were fooled. Fool us once, shame on you. Fool us twice, shame on me.
Congressman, we'll let you get out of here, but thanks for making time for us. So let's do this again real soon.
All right, thank you, Jeff.
Congressman Barry Moore there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Sadly in search of